Fran fam, what's going on? Listen, before we start this podcast episode, I have a very, very small favor to ask of each and every single one of you guys. I appreciate the support that all of you have been showing for the podcast up until this point, but we want to try and get these episodes out to as many people as possible. And how we do that on the audio side is by leaving a review and dropping a 5-star rating. So if you've been a consistent listener of the pod, please, before we get this episode started, it only takes a couple of seconds, leave a review. It could be a 2-word, 3-word, 4-word review, or just leave a rating. Do something to get the word out so that we can get the Marvin Francois Show to more listeners moving forward. Outside of that, love you guys, appreciate the support, but without further ado, let's get into this episode.
I took my last $500 from my teacher retirement that I had put to the side, and I said, third time's the charm, man.
My cousin
talked to me about it, right? I went to a seminar. I saw the guy on live. I got to go, man. I can make the $500 back one day.
Mm-hmm.
So I put up $500, went to the guy's seminar. He taught me the game, made $15K on my first deal. I was making $2K a month. $2K mm-hmm. times 12 for the people counting at home is $24K. I made 3/4 of my salary on one real estate deal. You're only one deal away, man. You're mm-hmm. only one conversation away from really, truly changing your life.
Hey, business owners, what if I helped you get access to $50,000 in business funding for $1 a day? Would you be interested? Well, inside of my Credit Mastery community, you're going to be getting exclusive access to our in-depth training program that's worth tens of thousands of dollars to give you the exact strategies you need on how to restore your credit and on how to properly structure your business. You're also going to be getting access to a financial consultant with over a decade of experience in the funding space that'll help you reach your financial goals in half the time it would take if you were to do it on your own. And we're going to be giving you 2 coaching calls every week that'll give you the exact banks you need to go to get access to $50,000 to $100,000 in business funding. This is the same community that helped Pat get access to $50,000 in funding from Chase, helped Alvin get access to $8,000 in funding from Amex, helped Matt boost his personal credit score by 150 points, and helped Donna delete a bankruptcy from her credit report. So if you're interested, click the link above or below this video to join now, and we'll see you on the other side of success. Let's go, family.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Marvin Francois Show, your number one source for all things business, finance, and investing. And today, is a very special day because our guest today is an entrepreneur, mentor, investor, educator, and real estate expert extraordinaire. He's the CEO of Robinson Capital Group, a 7-figure wholesaling company responsible for doing well over $6 million in real estate deals, and the creator of Wealth Forever University, a learning platform engineered to educate aspiring investors on how to win in real estate. Whether he's making history as one of the first Black men to own a multifamily apartment complex out of Marietta, Georgia, or teaching real estate strategies on how to find, fund, and flip deals, his mission remains the same: to make building wealth for aspiring investors in this industry easier than it's ever been before. And today, he's here to do more of the same. Ladies and gentlemen, from South Georgia, I'm here with the one, the only,
yes, sir,
my guy, Mr. Marquise Robinson. What's going on, family?
How's it going, sir? Thank you for having me on and giving me the opportunity to speak in front of your audience, man. I do appreciate it.
Man, I appreciate you for coming on, man. I love talking real estate. I love being able to sit down with movers and shakers,
yes, sir,
action takers, money makers like yourself. And I think this is going to be a very value-packed, gem-dropping episode for the people. So I'm excited, man.
I appreciate it, man.
Man, yes, most sir. Definitely. I know I did an okay job introducing you.
For sure. Amazing, man. Amazing. I'm sweating in here, man.
But man, listen, before we get into all the fun stuff, it's important that the audience, I think, has a little bit of a backstory, right?
For sure.
I know who you are, but yep, for those who are unfamiliar, let's get them familiar. Who exactly is Marquise Robinson?
Marquise Robinson, her humble beginnings to say the least. Born single family mom. My mom had me at 15. My dad was 17. So, you know, they did the best they could. But my mom took care of me for the most of my life, for the most part. First graduate in my family, born and raised in South Georgia, right? So I know when people hear, oh, you're from Georgia, they automatically assume Atlanta. Kind of like New York. It's other parts.
Upstate
New York, but very, very slow. Mm. But nevertheless, born and raised in South Georgia, first college grad in my family. Mm. And truth be told, Marvin, I kind of knew then that I was going to be different from everyone in my family. First college graduate, first one with a master's degree, started a business, so on and so forth. But humble beginnings to say the least, man. Grateful to be here. Grateful where I am now, for sure.
So as of today, obviously you're an extremely successful an extremely established real estate investor, but as you know better than I do, it wasn't always like that.
Absolutely.
So let's go back to some of those humble beginnings. Sure. What did life look like in the early days before success in real estate, before entrepreneurship, where you were still just trying to figure life out, whether it's you want to go back as far as high school or college? Walk me through that.
We could even go back to probably, I'd probably say high school. Like, I was always a hustler, as you know. One thing I've noticed, man, people who are great in entrepreneurship, they kind of were doing something early as a kid, right? I would get in trouble for, I was selling basketball cards. I was printing off pictures with my mom's ink in high school, selling pictures and everything like that. So that was a good business for me until, you know, I ran out of ink and she found that I was printing without her permission. But nevertheless, that was my first taste of entrepreneurship. And fast forward, graduated from college. I actually went and worked at Verizon selling phones, right? That's kind of where I honed in my sales skills. You know, my mom told me, she's like, man, you know, you went to college, but you're not really using your degree.
Yeah.
So that's when I really did what, you know, at the time I thought that was what was my purpose, right? That's what I thought I wanted to do, was go work in the public education system. And that was probably the most interesting thing I've ever done, right? Making $2K a month as a teacher, getting paid once a month. I taught in Fulton County schools, in Cobb County schools, where we own property as well. So very, very humble beginnings, to say the least. $2K a month, and I was bagging groceries at Winn-Dixie on the weekend. So I know, I don't think you guys have a Winn-Dixie up here.
No, I doubt it.
But it's like a local grocery store. So I was bagging groceries on the weekend, listening to podcasts, back and forth to work. And, you know, going back and forth, man. So I was teaching and I was bagging groceries to make ends meet. Credit was terrible. It was a tough time, man.
Interesting. So let's unpack that a bit, because like you said, you've had your hands in entrepreneurship from as early as you could remember.
For sure.
But you still went the traditional route of, okay, I'm gonna go to school, I'm gonna get a job, and I'm gonna just work till whenever. What happened from, you know, when you start dibbling and dabbling in entrepreneurship, that still made you say, like, nah, I gotta go to school and get an education? Because for most people, you know, that intro to entrepreneurship so early would have made them probably stray away from school and say, like, I'm a bet on myself.
Right.
But you still decided to go the traditional route. Was it mom and dad that was like, listen, I don't care if you're selling candy, whatever, maybe you got to get a degree if you're going to live in this house.
Here's the thing. And let's be honest. Like, our parents always want what's best for us. Or a lot of times they want us to do things that they wish they could have did, or they think may be best. So I went to college. I went to college for business originally. I switched my major. I had a piece of adversity, meaning I wasn't the best in math at the time. So I switched my major to education. I was like, man, this is going to be my opportunity to give back. Because at the end of the day, that's something I'm passionate about, right? Giving back to the community, educating people on you can be better.
Yeah.
Right? Being a nice representation of us in the community, if you will, right?
Yeah.
So that being said, you know, I got my degree from VSU in South Georgia. But I feel like that's what my parents wanted me to do. And it was an accolade at the time, right? Yeah. I would be the first college graduate on my mom's side at the time. So a part of me wanted to do it. But in the back of my mind, I wanted to do entrepreneurship my whole life. I wanted to be in business and sales because I knew that's what I like to do. I like to talk. I like to build relationships. You know what I mean? I like to bring people together and get deals done. So for me, that's why I did it. You know, graduate to make my mom proud, for sure.
So you graduate, you get the degree, mom is proud. But fast forward a bit, you just mentioned it. Now you're a teacher. You're making $2,000 a month. Right. Not a week, not a day.
A month. A month.
Yeah, $2,000 a month. And that's before taxes or after taxes?
That's after tax. You definitely won't be able to survive in New York off of that.
Oh, no. $2K a month, you may be able to get one closet. And
right.
So you're making $2K a month post-college. Mom's happy, but now you're in a situation where not only are you working this job that isn't making enough money, but if I heard you correctly, you also have a side job on the weekend as well.
Yeah, I was bagging groceries at a grocery store.
So it's like I'm teaching by day, I'm bagging groceries by the weekend.
Right.
What's going through your mind mentally at that season of your life?
How did I get here? Like, drowning in student loan debt, credit is terrible, bagging groceries on the weekend. I thought the American dream was, you know, go to college, get a nice degree, and then you're going to get a nice job, and life is going to be great. White picket fence, wife and all that stuff. No, none of that. I had none of that at the time. So what was going through my head was like, something's got to give. You know, I'm on Instagram watching my cousin, who was an agent at the time. Now she's a real estate broker. She's closing deals. She's pulling up in front of mansions in a Mercedes, driving off. She's on vacation. I'm like, what is she doing that I'm not doing? Right? Because remember, I sold phones before I got into the education space. In the back of my mind, I'm like, man, if I can sell phones, I can probably sell houses as well, right? So the hustle was there. But here's the difference, right? What set me apart, I believe, Marvin, was the mindset.
Okay.
I knew deep down that this couldn't be the end, right? I have a degree. I was working on my master's degree at the same time. So in the back of my mind, I'm like, man, worst case scenario, if I stop doing this, I can always go back.
Yeah.
I know how to survive doing it, but man, I'm watching these other people sell real estate. I'm like, man, maybe that's something I can get into. Mm. First thing that popped up on YouTube, how do most people build their wealth? Real estate investing,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
How, if I can sell phones, I can probably sell homes. Mm. And that's something I kind of stuck with every day. So I would just start to educate myself on the way to work. Instead of listening to the radio, man, I would just listen to podcasts, like something like yours.
Yeah.
And that's the beautiful thing about these type of podcasts, right? Listen to someone like yourself and just listen to a real estate podcast and like, man, if I get my opportunity, I'm jumping all in.
Before you made that transition to real estate, what would you say was the lowest moment for you financially when you were still balancing the 9 to 5 with the side job on the weekends?
I think it was a point where I could barely pay the rent and my car note at the time. And this was me bagging groceries and, working teaching, as a teacher, right? I'm asking for, hey, can I do summer school teaching? Can I, watch the students after school or something like that? So I think the lowest moment there was like, man, I'm late on rent. Late on my car note. This is tough. Like I like to call it the un, right? I felt unappreciated. I was underpaid and I was unhappy. And a lot of people who are watching this right now, you probably feel the same way, but I'm here to tell you, your current situation is not your final destination, man. And I really truly believe that, because no offense to my cousin, she wasn't really a salesperson. So when I called her, she was like, man, if I can do this, you'll kill this, because you're an extrovert. She's an introvert.
Yeah.
So that piece of that one conversation right there really changed it for me. Someone who's doing something that you want to do, telling you can probably be even better.
Yeah.
Because you have the skills to come in here and dominate.
So now you find yourself, like you said, you're going online, YouTube University, and you stumble across real estate being this thing that may, you're not 100% sure right. yet, but like maybe this can be the thing that I've been looking for. How does the transition now happen from you walking away from, some people call it, I guess, jumping off the cliff, if you will. Where does that step now happen for you going from working a 9 to 5 to now I'm going into real estate?
So true story. I was listening to the, I think it was a commercial break that came on my way to work, on my way to bagging groceries one day. And it was one of those days. I was living in Florida at the time, by the way, and it was raining. I'm like, man, I don't want to do this. And the guy was on the radio who's like, hey, if you have bad credit, if you have no real estate experience, and if you want to get in real estate and you're looking for a change in your life, come to my seminar. I'm like, it's probably another one of those money grabs, right? Yeah. He was like, hey, it's free. If you like what we have to say, we may have an opportunity for you.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to the seminar and they talked about a strategy called wholesaling real estate, where you can help someone who's distressed, tax delinquent, divorced, pre-foreclosure. If you can help them and get the property on the contract and sell it to another investor, you can make the money in between. Pretty much a middleman.
Right.
And if we think about it, this has been going on since the age of time. What's the name of the company? Costco. That's pretty much their business model.
Yep.
Please believe, if you buy a charger from Apple, they're you're not buying it for the price they paid for it.
Right.
So wholesaling has been going on for years. Vendors, I'm pretty sure in New York it's a lot of wholesale vendors here.
Yep.
They get it, put it on the street, and then they resell it out, whatever that may be. But it started to kind of click for me, like, man, no credit, no real estate license. That's definitely me. No money. That's definitely me at the time. So that being said, I was like, man, I think this may be something I can pursue.
Mm. So you go to the seminar.
Mm-hmm.
You already had an inkling about real estate. You now the seminar kind of is your step in that direction. What happens from there?
So from there, funny story. I was on social media one day. A buddy of mine I went to college with, same exact thing, right? Mm-hmm. He was going live with this guy in Atlanta. He was like, hey, this guy is the king of real estate in Atlanta. He has a strategy where if you have no credit, that was me, by the way. I'm harping on this because if you're listening and you're in a similar situation, I'm telling you how you can go from here to here.
Yeah.
That being said, so the guy was like, hey, if you don't have any credit, no real estate license, no money, I can get you started in real estate with a strategy called wholesaling.
I'm
like, man, this is the second time I've heard this.
Mm.
And my cousin was telling me about the strategy a little bit as well, right? And the difference was, as an agent, you make 3%, and with that 3%, you have to pay a broker a fee, and you have to pay them a monthly fee as well.
Mm.
With wholesaling, all of the money comes to you after, of course, you pay, the seller makes their money.
Mm-hmm.
So if the seller owes $100,000 on the mortgage, you resell it for $120,000, that $20,000 potentially is going home to you.
Mm.
So I'm like, this, Marvin, this is way more advantageous
to
go the wholesaling route, right? Yep. And so I reached out to my buddy who I saw on social media with a guy. I'm like, man, can you connect me? Same thing. The guy said, I had a seminar. This time you have to pay. So Marvin, true story, I took my last $500 from my teacher retirement that I had put to the side. And I said, Third time's the charm, man.
Yeah, my
cousin talked to me about it, right? I went to a seminar. I saw the guy on live. I got to go, man.
Yeah.
I can make the $500 back one day.
Mm-hmm.
So I put up $500, went to the guy's seminar. He taught me the game, made $15,000 on my first deal. It's been amazing ever since.
$15,000 on your first deal. Okay, well, you can't just say that. And
Marvin, keep in mind now.
Talk to me.
I was making $2,000 a month. $2,000 mm-hmm. times 12 for the people counting at home is $24,000.
Yeah.
I made 3/4 of my salary on one real estate deal.
Yeah.
You're only one deal away, man. You're mm-hmm. only one conversation away from really, truly changing your life.
What were the conversations? Because one thing I see that I noticed throughout the interview, you're speaking directly to the audience, because like you and I know, there's someone that today is where you were yesterday.
Yes, sir.
Right? And as I'm listening to you speak, I think another component of taking that leap, which I'm curious to hear from your story, is mm-hmm. you went to school to make mom and dad happy. Like,
right.
just get this degree and get them.
Right.
But now Marquise ain't happy, right?
Exactly.
Money ain't money in, right? Mm-hmm. Life isn't doing what it needs to do. But now you find your lane in real estate. You take that jump. You make 3/4 of your salary in
right.
1 year,
right.
right? What are those conversations, if any, that you're having with mom and with dad at the time, or just with friends and family? Do right. they understand what's going on? Are they supportive of what's going on? Are they like, man, what are you doing? Man, the job is all right. Stay where
right.
you're at.
Right.
What are those conversations like?
They thought I was crazy.
Yeah.
They thought I was crazy for sure. Because, again, I'm not telling everyone to do this, but me, after I made the $15,000, I burned the bridges.
Really?
I quit cold turkey. Yes, sir. Because if I can make $15,000 on one deal, I can make $5,000 on another deal. $3,000 on another. I just needed proof of concept.
Yeah.
And that's what holds a lot of people back, right? They just need proof of concept. They need for it to happen. And now the belief opens up, right? Mm-hmm. Now you're like, okay, this thing is real. Because you can watch me talk about it on my Instagram and my YouTube all day.
Mm-hmm.
But until it happens to you and for you, then you truly start to believe. So I burned the bridges, to say the least. Again, my dad definitely thought I was crazy. My mom was a little bit more open to it. Because,
mm-hmm.
you know, I was like, hey, mom, I do have the master's degree now. I do have the bachelor's degree. Mm-hmm. I've done everything you wanted me to do.
Mm-hmm.
At some point, I had to bet on me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what I did. I bet on myself and went all in. So, for sure.
You get that first $15,000 check
right.
from going from $2,000 a month and some change with the job on the
for
side.
Sure.
To now you get $15,000 after one deal. What happens from there?
From there, I started to just triple down. So I got started with a strategy called driving for dollars. Are you familiar with it?
I'm very familiar.
So I would drive around the city of Atlanta and find any vacant home I could find,
mm-hmm.
write the address down in my iPad, in my Apple Notes or whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
I would then skip trace it with whitepages.com. I think it's a free website. Or another one, and I'm just giving out game. It's another one. If you're on the budget right now, been verified. I think mm-hmm. that one maybe $20.
Mm-hmm.
And I would just call everyone in the city of Atlanta and ask them, do they want to sell their home? Mm-hmm. Number one, the house is not up to par, meaning it needs some work. So I know you haven't fixed it. So that may be an opportunity. And then number two, I would go to the county website
mm-hmm.
and get a tax delinquent list as well, right? So the strategy of wholesaling is you're reaching out to someone in a distressed situation,
mm-hmm.
tax delinquent. I would get the code enforcement list as well. And here's the thing, guys. This is free information. They have to give you this information. If they don't want to give it to you, you can submit a FOI request, right,
mm-hmm.
to them and say, hey, I need access to this information because, hey, who knows? I may have a property on the list myself.
Mm-hmm.
So they have to give you this information. Take it to been verified, right, or white pages, either or. Skip trace, get the phone number, you call them and ask them, do they want to sell the property?
You beat me to it. So let's dive into it, right? Because like you said, you found your footing and was able to
sure.
turn your life around in this space of real estate. And now you're teaching other people how to have success in real estate, more specifically with wholesaling. I am not a real estate investor. I sit down with a lot of real estate
right,
investors.
Sir. Yeah.
And I hear a lot of mumbling around the wholesaling space. Some
yes,
people
sir.
Are saying, you know, this is the way for you to get started in real estate. Other people are saying, you know, wholesaling isn't the way to go. I want to hear from the man himself. Is wholesaling dead in 2025?
No, sir, it is not. What is dead is terrible marketing, terrible follow-up, right? And people who do not have multiple exit strategies.
Mm.
The difference in 2025 as opposed to 2018 when a lot of people got started is they were simply offering these people lowball offers and they mm-hmm. were accepting it, or the market was so good you can pretty much sell anything that had equity in it, right? With our strategies today, we offer them at least 2 to 3 ways to get the deal closed, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you mind if I go in?
Go ahead, let's do it.
So number one, right, when the difference between our company and a lot of companies is this: we offer options when we pick up the phone and call you, right, Marvin? So think about it as your favorite restaurant, right? it's your favorite because they probably have different options, different appetizers that you like, the steaks, whatever it is that you like at that restaurant, they probably have options. Mm-hmm. So we give the sellers options when we call them. Hey, we can do a cash offer, which is 60% of what your home is worth. Mm-hmm. This is typically for a homeowner who wants to close in 14, 21 days, mm-hmm. maybe 28. Mm-hmm. Or we can do a novation, aka our equity protection program. Mm-hmm. This is typically a 45 to 60 day closing, but we get closer to where they want to be price wise. Mm-hmm. So offer number one, cash, 200K. Offer number two, novation, 225, maybe even 235, right? So then what I'll do, I'll list your property on the market and I'll sell it for the price above 225, right? So if you say, hey, Marquise, I like you. I need about 45 days to move, but I need 225. Perfect. So Marvin, if I sell it for 250, that's not going to be an issue, right?
No, not at all.
Because you told me you wanted 225, nothing less, nothing more.
Yeah.
And then last but not least, we'll do a subject too, where we'll work with a creative financing buyer where they'll take over the mortgage payments, they'll pay the taxes, and we'll charge them a fee to come in and take down your the mortgage on your property, right? So if you say, hey, if they take over the mortgage, I need 25K. Cool. I'll charge that buyer 35K, make 10K, they're taking over your mortgage, and they may do a pad split, Airbnb it, or whatever that may be. That's between you two, right? But at the end of the day, that's a third way where we can get paid on the deal. And I have a fourth way as well, Marvin, if you don't mind me saying.
Please, go.
We have another strategy called surplus funds, right? Or excess funds. Typically, with these people, this is a very, very unique strategy that a lot of people don't use. Mm-hmm. So here's the thing, right? I remember, Marvin, I was telling you this earlier, right? Had a guy reach out to me. He was like, man, what do you guys do if you have a pre-foreclosure or a tax delinquent lead and you can't close them? Mm-hmm. 3 years ago, I was like, we just move on to the next one. Mm. Again, it's all about education, building relationships, and betting on yourself. This gentleman taught me this strategy called excess funds, surplus funds, where you reach out to a homeowner who lost the property at the foreclosure auction. They didn't pay the taxes or they didn't pay the mortgage. If the property sells for more than what's owed, right? Because think about it. If you ever been to an auction or saw them on TV, first bidder going once, going twice, the price keeps going up, right? But the starting bid is what's owed on the property.
Yeah.
So let's say you owe $100K on your mortgage, right, from foreclosure. You didn't pay the mortgage on time. If it sells for $150 or let's say it sells for $200, that $100K is potentially owed to you as the former homeowner because that equity is still owed to you. Mm-hmm. And there are state statutes that back this up and everything. So what we'll do, we'll call them from a different entity and say, hey, Mr. Johnson, Mr. Marvin, right? I'll help you claim that $100K potentially owed to you if you give me 20 to 30% of that. So that's how we're still able to make money on these deals, even if we can't close them on the front end. So that being said, we'll charge them 20 to 30%. We take on 30K. They take on potentially 70K. My attorney will file the paperwork with the county and things like that and get them paid out probably within a few months. So that's how we're being very, very dangerous in this space right now. So to answer your question, wholesaling is definitely not dead, but you need multiple exit strategies, number one, and you need some more sauce for you to really, really stand out with these people. Because think about it, that same person who you couldn't close on the front end, I'm probably closing them on the back end as well, if I don't close them on the front end with my other three strategies. Mm-hmm. And that is how you really, really get dangerous. But most importantly, I've educated myself. Mm-hmm. I've been doing this 7 years. Mm-hmm. Started off wholesaling, right? Now we're doing wholesaling, surplus funds, multiple exit strategies, and we're doing multifamily. So my point here, Marvin, is this. If you want to be in this business and really, really take it serious and change your life, you can't just learn wholesaling and stop. Mm-hmm. You have to adapt to the market and adjust.
This is going to be one of them ones, ladies and
gentlemen. Yes, sir.
This is going to be one of them. All right, so let's unpack all of that. You broke down four different, like you said, wholesaling is not dead in 2025.
Absolutely not.
Bad strategy for wholesaling is dead in 2025. You got to have the right strategy. So if I don't know anything about wholesaling,
right,
but I'm interested. You gave four different strategies. If you're speaking to aspiring investors, of those four, what's the best lane, if any, for them to go? And what would your approach be if you were in their shoes?
So my approach would, number one, to be definitely get with someone who knows what they're doing, right? Really, really pay to skip the line. That's my honest opinion, right?
Yeah.
Because that's exactly what I did, right?
Yep.
Think about it. Went to the first seminar, went to the second seminar, mm-hmm. and then here I am now doing the things I'm doing. So I would definitely pay to get ahead of the line. But let's say you're on a budget, right? I would go to your county and pull a tax delinquent list, or got more sauce for you, man.
Come on.
Another free website is auction.com.
Say it again?
Auction.com.
Okay.
Right? This is another data furnisher. With auction.com, they put all the properties on their website that are going to pre-foreclosure. What you're going to do is create a free account, right? You're going to save all the properties that are potentially going to the auction. I'm going to tell you why you want to do this, right? Number one, they're going to email you for free and let you know which properties are actually going to the auction. You can call these homeowners after you skip trace them with BIM Verified or White Pages. These are free, little to nothing, maybe $20 a month to get started. Call the person from the auction.com list, okay, and ask them, do they want to sell their property? That's one way to get started. Now, if the property sells at the auction, guess what they're going to tell you? How much it sold for in your email. Free. So you set up a free account on auction.com, right? So now you can call these people and wholesale the property because they're in pre-foreclosure. These are more than likely the most, I would probably say, distressed sellers that you're probably going to deal with.
Yeah.
And the beautiful thing about this, guys, is the homes are typically in better condition. It's not that the house is a, it's not that it's a bad house, meaning it needs a lot of work. It's the person in the situation they're in.
Yeah.
So that's where I would start if I were you. Go to your county website, pull a tax delinquent list, or go to auction.com and pull a pre-foreclosure list from there for free. And then if the property does sell at the auction, guess what we're going to do next, guys? We're going to call and get the surplus or excess funds on the back end. I just showed you how to triple down.
Come on now.
Hey, business owners. Imagine being able to walk in and out of banks and starting to see approvals instead of rejections. And it's not because you changed anything with your business, but because you put your personal credit report in the position it needed to be in. Here at Take All Financial, our team helps business owners just like you using consumer law strategies that get real results in real time. We remove collections, charge-offs, late payments, evictions, delinquent student loans, along with anything else that's keeping you from getting to your funding goals. And best of all, it's completely done for you. We send the disputes, file the complaints, and do everything needed to help put you in position to access your first $50,000 to $100,000 in business credit. So if you're interested, head over to takeofffinancial.com or click the link in the description below to book a free consultation with me and my team to learn more about how we can help you get one step closer to your funding goals.
There is a, you know, just better than I do that in real estate, it's all about finding a good deal.
Yes, sir.
You have a framework that you taught that I've heard you talk about called the Fantastic Four framework.
Mm-hmm.
Can you talk a little bit about that?
Absolutely. So with this framework, right, when you're looking at these deals, right, you want a few things you want to understand. Why do they want to sell? Because we want to go back to that pain point when it's time to underwrite the deal and make an offer, right?
Mm-hmm.
What is your price, right? Want to make sure the numbers actually make sense. Because here's the thing, right? If the Zestimate is $250 and they're saying, Marvin, I want $600K. Definitely not a deal. Mathematically, yeah. It's not. Don't even waste your time. Yeah. Let's keep it rolling, right? Next thing is timeline. How soon do you need to get this property sold, right? And last but not least, the condition, right? Because we want to underwrite. I tell my community members in my inner circle, we want to underwrite as if you're buying a deal. Because that investor that you're going to put the deal in front of, you want to build a long-term relationship with them.
Mm-hmm.
So that being said, give them a great deal where you can make $20K on the deal, preferably $30K, right? And they can still have skin in the game as well, and they can make some money. They can have skin on the bone, they can still make some money.
From what you're seeing, because you're giving these frameworks, you're giving these strategies, and I know that with your experience that you have in the space, you work with a lot of aspiring and newer investors. What are some of the biggest mistakes that you see a lot of newer investors making out the gate that we can help people who are watching make sure they don't make as well?
I would say one thing is this, right? They're trying to do deals in multiple markets. I would say start in your market for sure and reverse engineer, right? When I say start in your market, I would say start in a market where the money's there, the buyers are there, and you know people want to sell, right? So for example, this is specifically what we do. I'm going to tell you exactly what to do to make sure you can make some real money in this space. Number one, you want to look up the median home price in your market, right? In my market of Atlanta, typically $350,000 to $400K. Our goal when we're wholesaling these deals is to make anywhere from 10 to 12% of that. So for the people watching at home, if your market, your median market, if the median sale price, right, in your market is $300K, the goal is to make 10%, which is 30K per deal.
Mm-hmm.
If it's below 20K, maybe 10, I would probably look at another market. So I would say, number one, let's do some market research first. Let's go to a market where we know people want to be there. People want to buy property there and they want to invest there as well. And also pay attention to what's going on in your market. So those are a few things to definitely look at. Like, don't start this in the middle of nowhere. We're trying to make money here.
Is this, because right now we're in New York, is this a strategy, because you talked about start where you are,
right?
But, you know, I mean, this the New York market is a little bit different.
Absolutely.
Then you have other markets like a California, for example. Mm-hmm. So if you have an investor that's watching from a big city market where they may feel like, man, I don't live in Atlanta.
Right.
I don't live in Texas where things are a little bit more affordable.
Sure.
Is wholesaling still a strategy that we can implement in the city that we're in? Or at that moment, would you say like, all right, no, cool. You should probably invest out of state.
Great point. So, New York, no. I'm going to say it now. Number one, the laws may not support it. Number two, to be honest, and I'm Southern, as you guys can tell with this accent.
Yeah.
In the Sun Belt, it's wide open, man. When I'm talking Georgia, North Carolina, Florida, Texas, Alabama, my top three markets right now, and I'm just going to give you guys the sauce. DFW is probably number one right now. They have a lot of developments going on. And most importantly, guys, you can wholesale land and make 30, 40K a pop out there.
Break that down.
So when you're wholesaling land, you're selling this land to a developer, or you can sell it to some of the big time builders. D.R. Horton, Lanier Homes, those are like some of the top builders in America. They'll buy the land from you. Okay, so you can do the same strategy with a home, reach out to the homeowner or the property owner of that land and wholesale that land as well.
So we're not just only wholesaling properties. We could actually wholesale the land, whether there's a property owner or not, but we could wholesale the land that's actually on there.
Absolutely.
And is that something you recommend for newer investors, though?
I would say it's something you can definitely do for sure. Absolutely.
Yes. Okay. Gotcha.
Because the underwriting is not that much difficult. But here's the beautiful thing about land as well, Marvin. You're not dealing with tenants having to move out.
Yeah.
It's not much emotional attachment. You're simply wholesaling the land. So my top three markets would be DFW for sure. Why? Because it's a big market. You can do land out there. Metro Atlanta, growing population. You can probably make 30, 40K per deal there. And then Raleigh-Durham is a little bit of a smaller market, but it's not as many people in that market trying to do wholesale deals, if that makes sense, right? And last but not least, Marvin, we're wholesaling multifamily as well, small multifamily deals. And we're making six figures on these. And I'm going to tell you exactly how.
Okay. Well, let's break it down right now.
Let's do it. So with that being said, with small multifamily deals, right, it's a very, very niche way to do this because with small multifamily deals, you're dealing with mom and pops.
Yeah.
They probably inherited the property. They probably owned it for 20 years. They don't really know the real value of the asset, if we're being honest, right? You can get them under contract. 30-day DD, due diligence, by the way, gives you time to find a buyer, and a 60-day closing, and they're go for it. These type of deals, you can make 50 to 100K easily on these deals. Easily on these deals. We made one. I want to say we made 130 on the deal a couple weeks ago, and I have the screenshot right here if you guys need to see.
Yeah, we'll put it out. You send it to me after.
We'll send it over to you. But true story. We're wholesaling land, single family, and multifamily in these markets. But with multifamily, small multifamily, a duplex up into 10 units, because a mom and pop will own that as opposed to 100 units. Going to be a big time entity, probably out of New York or LA, right? And there you're never going to talk to the owner of that, right? But small multifamily is a sweet spot right now in today's market.
So with where you are right now, is wholesaling a means to transition into buy and hold?
You're talking my language.
Yeah, because for me, a lot of the people I speak with who are established buy and hold investors now, most of them started off, wholesaling was like their foot in the door, then they stopped, and now they're just all in on buy and hold. But for you, you're still wholesaling to this
day. So here's my strategy, right? Here's my theory, actually. I like to wholesale to stay liquid, and then I buy multifamily assets to keep long-term and build wealth. So I like to stay dangerous that way because it may be a deal that comes across my table. Instead of wholesaling it, I can take it down because I'm going direct to the owner. I'm cutting the brokers out of the deal completely. So you're saving 3 to 6% on these type of deals if you know how to wholesale. So it's not just about wholesaling and making money, right? I want to learn the markets and really go directly to the homeowner myself. It's almost like Frank Lucas, right? One of my favorite movies, American Gangster. He started really, really making money when he went directly to the plug, if you will. And that is exactly what we do. We go directly to the homeowner of the asset and say, hey, I can make you an offer right now. No broker fees. I'll take care of you.
So it pretty much allows you to play both sides of the
coin. Absolutely, absolutely. So we can get a deal, sell it, make money, or we can put it in our portfolio. But instead of paying what the broker would charge you, I'm shaving off that 3 to 6%, and probably in multifamily, you're probably saving at least probably 200K.
Let's talk
in equity.
Let's talk a little bit about the financing component. You talked about one approach, which is subject to,
right?
But there's so many different ways that you could finance a real estate deal. With wholesaling, the financing more or less kind of takes care of itself because, once again, you're handling you're selling the contract of the property. But if you're trying to get into more like long-term investing, what are some of the different strategies that you're teaching around the financing of acquiring these properties?
So when we're specifically discussing acquiring multifamily assets, so here's the thing. I want to be very, very clear. When you're looking at a multifamily asset, this is a business. I'm going to say it one more time. This is a business. Wholesaling, you're going to get the property under contract and sell it. You're done. This is a business. When I say that, you have a property management team.
Yeah.
You have contractors.
Yeah.
Now we're going to start making repairs. But most importantly, you have tenants in there who you're liable for every day and every month to make sure they have a clean place to live, a safe place to live, and everything's working in there. So with that being said, typically a lot of these lenders, they're going to want you to put anywhere from 25 to 30% down to buy a multifamily asset. And they'll give you maybe 24 months on the loan, maybe even 36 months on the loan.
When it comes to, because I've heard some people who talk about buying with business credit. Other people talk about using hard money lenders. So other people talk about private money lenders.
Right.
Where are you when it comes to those three different avenues to explore when with financing?
Great question. I think you have to be creative, right? And that's actually something we really, really push in our community, the Multifamily Millionaire Movement. With our community, Marvin, what we really, really hone in and dial in with our members is this. We want you to be very, very dangerous. In a good way, of course, right? That being said,
right.
In a good way.
Right.
So number one, we want to show you how to wholesale real estate, get very, very liquid, or do the excess funds, surplus fund strategy, get very, very liquid that way. From there, let's take this money, pay off bad debt. Let's get our finances in order before we go to a multifamily lender, okay? Let's pay off bad debt, get your credit right, and of course, go see Marvin and get some business funding if you don't mind. Right. That being said, once you go through those steps, now it's time to go buy you a multifamily asset. Now, here's the secret sauce. We are tend to buy duplexes and quadplexes because they're classified as single family. So you can buy these with 3.5% down. You can raise money for the down payment. You can use business funding for the down payment, or you can use the money from a wholesale deal that I showed y'all to make $30,000 on. Right? Remember that land deal you just did? Remember that multifamily deal you just did? You can take all of these and buy a duplex or a quadplex. So let's do the math on it, Marvin, right?
Let's do it.
Let's say you buy four of these at $250,000 a piece. 10% of that is $25,000. So if you come up with $100,000, you can now, because $25,000 times four is $100,000 is $1 million, right?
Yep.
So that being said, if we can get $100,000, whether we raise it from private investors, and we show you how to structure those deals as well. Business funding from Marvin's team, right? Wholesale money, whatever that may be. Now you can buy four of these properties at $250,000 a piece. Your net worth is now $1 million. All you had to do was invest $100,000. And guess what though, Marvin? You're still wholesaling land, multifamily, single family, and you're doing surplus funds as well. This is how we're teaching people how to stay dangerous. I've showed you how to make money, pay off bad debt, get your credit right, right? You're going to see you for the financing. I'm showing you how to structure deals. I'm putting you in front of the lenders as well. You cannot lose, guys. This is what they should have been teaching us in school.
This is
why I left the public education system to start my own community and teach. So I'm still teaching, but I'm making a bigger impact and I'm creating millionaires just like that.
You said something off camera. My audience would kill me if we didn't talk about it on camera.
Of course, talk to me.
You mentioned how you're using artificial intelligence in your real estate business right now. Talk to me a little bit about that, because I hear rumblings of AI in all different areas. And one of the things I was thinking about was, I mean, how are real estate investors going to be able to incorporate this in their business? But now hearing how you are potentially using it in yours, how has AI helped you, or are you currently using it in your real estate business?
Today? And again, this is just a testament to my growth in the industry, right? I noticed it was an issue in the industry where people, you know, new people, right, who may be watching this like, man, I want to do it. He's making sense, but I have a job. I'm a single mom. I'm in the military. I'm older. How can I get these people on the phone? How can I close more deals more efficiently, but quicker, right? We want to get to the money quicker. I get it.
Yeah.
So we came up with a software called DealWise.
Okay.
Right. Our goal is to help our investors make wise decisions and close as many deals as possible.
Yeah.
So with DealWise, we have the AI follow-up agents built into the system where they'll call these people for you, make the offer for you, and comp the property for you as well. So at this point, they're giving you a lead on the silver platter, number one, and they're going to book a follow-up call on your calendar. And I can play it right now if you want me to.
No, I got to hear it.
You want to hear it?
Yes,
Marvin,
I got
you covered, man. You know I got you covered.
So as you're getting this together, so once again, this is an AI agent.
Yes, sir.
That pretty much, like you said, hands the lead over on a silver platter.
Yes, sir.
You don't do nothing.
You press a button inside of our software called DealWise.
Okay.
Once you press this button, they're going to call the person and they're going to negotiate, get pricing, timeline to sell, condition, why they want to sell, and they're going to book a calendar on your calendar. They're going to book a call on your calendar. So when you walk into my system, you're like, oh wow, okay. So he talked to Ms. Johnson, he talked to Marvin, let me call them back, and the notes are going to tell you exactly what to offer based on what the property's worth.
I got to hear this.
I got you covered, man. So let's do a quick run through a call that I did.
We specialize in, if you could wave a magic wand, what would the perfect selling process look like for you?
Process where I close in 30-45 days. I don't make any repairs to the property. You guys play the closing costs. If you can get that done, I think I may be open to it. But again, I'm not taking any lowball offers at this time.
Totally hear you, Marcus. A smooth process with no repairs, no closing costs, and closing in 30-45 days sounds ideal, and that's exactly how we work. We'll make sure the offer is fair and based on the property's value.
3-2 right now.
So yeah, so they're doing all,
and the that's not a real person. That's AI.
Yeah, that's AI. That's AI. Because here's the thing, right? Let's address the elephant in the room. Someone is probably watching this. You're very, very interested, but you're like, bro, I have two kids. My son is in basketball. Mm-hmm. My daughter's in gymnastics. I don't have time to call all these people.
Yep.
But if you can send me someone who's been vetted, yep, and they somewhat want to sell, I may be able to make time and make a phone call and see what I can do. So we solved that problem there, number one. And then number two, with my DealWise software, right, we have the buyers in there. We have the closing attorneys in there as well. We have the buyers broken down by county, zip code, and state. So if the AI agent does what they're supposed to do, book it on your calendar, you call back and lock it up with the script that I have in there for you as well on DealWise. Mm. You send it to the buyers that I have in there for you, you're good to go. So I've solved 90% of the problems for someone watching this like, man, I want to do it, but I don't have time. We got you covered, man.
With this, with DealWise, even with it, what are the other, if any, key hires that you recommend that anyone who's looking to get in the real estate, in the wholesaling space, should have?
For sure.
Right? Because we have AI, but maybe we also need to have person A in place and person B in place to make sure our business is running smoothly.
For sure. So it depends on where you are in your journey, right? So with me, with my team, our team is completely built out. So I'll talk about my infrastructure, right? So I have an operations manager. While I'm here sitting with you, this person is typing up the contracts, sending out the contracts, making sure the sellers are sending things back, and the buyers, of course, sending over the EMD, earnest money deposit, to make sure they're real, they're a legit buyer, right? Then I have a sales team in place. These guys, once the AI agent books the call, they're calling these people back to negotiate the pricing down to the point where we need to be. And last but not least, I have an admin assistant who's helping with passwords or anything like that, any miscellaneous things that we have going on. But if you're in the beginning, I would say get DealWise. Number one, we're solving 90% of your problems, right? And then number two, I would get a VA after you've made money. Again, I want to say this very, very clear. After you've made money, after you probably make your first 10 to 20K, I would then hire a VA to do a lot of the admin work for you. Sending out contracts, whatever you need to done there, right? Sending out contracts, following up on deals. Teach that person how to do that and you're good to go. You can record everything on Loom.com. I think that's free as well. That's what I use. I screen record my computer and say, this is exactly how I want you to do it.
What's the largest deal you've done to date in the wholesaling space?
In the wholesaling space? Yeah. The deal we did for 130. And we got the screenshot to prove that. So that's the largest deal we've done.
Break that deal down for me.
Absolutely. So this was a multifamily deal we did in DFW, right? Reached out to the guy. He was going through divorce. He wanted to liquidate the asset to pay off some other things. I don't know if he had to pay the wife off at the time, whatever it was. But he was like, hey, man, I don't have all the finances on the property, but if you guys can give me, I want to say he wanted, it was like a 10 unit, I think. It was a 10 unit. He wanted to sell for $750. We got him down to like $675. We sold it for a little bit more to a private investor, and we got that deal done. Now, again, it was the multifamily deal, but this wasn't a two-week deal. It was about 45, 60 days. But I don't know about you at home. I definitely wait 45, 60 days to make $130K.
I'll wait 90 days.
Because, again, guys, this is coming from someone who made $2K a month as a teacher at one point.
So let's talk about the other side, right? We've talked about the strategies and the tools and everything else that goes to having success in the space. But there's always two sides to a coin. What's the side of the real estate business, of this business, that most people aren't talking about that you want the audience to be privy to? Because, you know, really, you've been in this for 7 years. You just wake up yesterday and start making money. Yep. This took you some time now. Right. You're helping people accelerate, of course, but there's still some lumps and bumps and bruises that you had to take along the way we want to make sure we educate the audience about as well. So what's the other side of running a wholesaling business that we want to make sure people understand? Like, you ain't finna just come in here, snap your fingers, and boom, you're a millionaire like Marquise.
Great question. I would probably say one thing you need to hone in on is sales and marketing. You have to understand sales and marketing, right? This is what we're doing. We're sales and marketing, right? We're marketing to someone in a distressed situation, and we're looking to turn around and sell to them that we can get the job done, number one. Because at the end of the day, Marvin, I don't want to go on a tangent, but everything we do in life is marketing, sales and marketing. That person that you're looking to date, you're selling yourself to that person that, hey, I am the person you should be dating and hopefully commit to, or whatever that is. Seriously,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So sales and marketing for sure. And then I would say another thing is commitment. You have to be committed to this and know your why. It sounds very, very cliche because it's true. Here's the thing, guys. If you give these jaws permission to feed you, you will give them permission to starve you.
Yeah.
I want to say that. I want to look you guys in the eye and say this. Listen, if you give these people permission to feed you, you will give them permission to starve you. So the why has to be big enough, because it may be a day where nobody wants to sell their property. Everyone's hanging up. Hey, I want $1 million. I decided to go with another person. What are you going to do when things get tight? Mm-hmm. You have to look within and look at that. Why? For me, I remember my mom going through divorce, and I saw how that looked for her, right? We lost the house at the tax delinquent auction. That is why I do surplus and excess funds to help people out,
yeah,
right? I watched my mom go through a divorce, had to go through bankruptcy as well. A lot of tough times. Again, I wasn't in the projects poor. You get what I'm saying? But my point is this, man. I saw some tough times, and I made a promise to myself I would never go back to making $2,000 a month, being depressed, unappreciated, unpaid, unhappy, right? But most importantly, I want to help as many people as possible come out of whatever their situation is and make some true money, because I know what it can do when you get dangerous. But most importantly, get out of survivor mode, which for me, once you get past 100K, I feel like you're out of survivor mode. Mm-hmm. Now you can start to think bigger, like, man, I can invest with Marvin. I can invest here and things like that. But I would say this, you need to be committed, understand the sales and marketing, but most importantly, man, leadership is very, very important if you're looking to build a team,
mm-hmm.
right? If you're looking to build a team, you're dealing with multiple personalities, right? You have to make sure all these people are taken care of, and you have to evolve from a me to a we mindset
yeah.
as a leader of the business. Before I came in today, I'm checking on my team. I had a 9:30 call. We good to go? Everything good? Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. I'll be busy from this time, but let me know if you need anything. So for sure.
Do you think that's the number one thing? Because you beat me to my next question, because there are a lot of people in real estate.
Right.
Ain't a lot of people in real estate making money.
Right.
Do you think that is one of the biggest things that the mindset piece that a lot of the investors who, because there are people who have been in the real estate space 20 years that's not doing what you're doing.
Right.
Is it the mindset piece that they make? Because the information is there. For the sure. education, the resources are there. If you got it, they got it too.
Right, right.
Where's the disconnect happening there?
Execution. A lot of people don't execute. The information I'm telling you, the things that I'm telling you we're doing, we execute at a very, very high level, right? My team understands exactly what exit strategy to give to the seller based on the situation, the pricing, the condition of the property, timeline, and why they want to sell. Execution is really what's holding a lot of people back. Someone will watch this video, we give you everything you need, and they still won't execute. They'll wait another week and go watch another one of the next video that Marvin drops after that, and they didn't do anything with wholesaling.
Yeah.
So I think lack of execution for sure, and a lot of people don't pivot or adjust to the market, right? You're not going to be able to wholesale these properties at 50%, 60% on the dollar anymore, which is okay. We're just going to list them on the market with an agent and make our fee that way. And now we can actually be a little bit more transparent with the seller and say, hey, I'm actually going to sell your property to one of my business partners who's open to paying more. I'm going to make sure you get your price, but I'm going to charge him a fee for my services. So we're wholesaling on the market as well. But we execute at a very, very high level.
That kind of also goes to my next point too, because another thing I hear, once again, from someone who's outside of the real estate market looking in, people keep talking about the market's going to crash, don't buy real estate. Right. You coming on here, and it sounds like you're telling people to go out and buy real estate, go out and invest. What are you seeing that everyone else isn't seeing is scared to invest?
Here's the thing, right? I want people to understand something. Real estate is cyclical. By that, I mean the best time to buy real estate was yesterday and probably 10 years ago. So for the guys who bought during the crash last time, they sold in 2018 when it was really, really hot. So if it does crash, buy now and then sell when the market picks back up. So that is what you have to understand. This is a cycle. Just like anything in life, if we're being honest, it's a cycle. It goes up and down. So I believe the best time to buy real estate was last year, a while back. But the second best time is to buy real estate right now and to get in the game right now. Because again, one thing I learned, man, once I learned how to do this stuff, no one can take it from me. Okay. Again, if you give them permission to feed you, you will give them permission to starve you. And last but not least, man, I didn't go in a gang of debt like I did for a college degree that I'm not using.
Yeah.
So that being said, real estate, buy real estate now and wait. Because the money is made when you buy.
So I'm listening to you speak, and even for the amount of success that you've had, you know, some people in your situation would get to where they're at and they're kicking their feet up, like, all right, I'm done,
right.
I'm chilling. But not only are you continuing to build your business, you're putting other people in position to build their business.
Right.
What is the mission now? What is that North Star for you now for the position that you're in at this current moment in time?
I would say at this current moment in my life, I want to help 1,000 people become millionaires or at least have a 7-figure net worth. Right. For me, I remember as a teacher, we would go in the break room. A teacher that's been there 10 years. I hate being here. You've probably been saying it for the past 10 years.
And guess what? You're gonna say it again.
And you're probably gonna be there next year. And some of these people are still there. And I'm not throwing any shade at anything. Things like that make me reflect back like, man, I got to go back and save as many people as possible. Right. I want to help as many people as possible get out of whatever financial situation they're in right now and level up and boss up and change their life. Because here's the thing, man. Once you get to a point in life where you have choices, It's different, man.
Yeah.
And when I say choices, guys, I'm talking about you can put your kids in a different school district because you make more money. Mm. You can choose who you want to work with because you make more money. You can choose when you want to go on vacation because you make more money. You can choose what credit card you want to pay off now because you make more money.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, I'm not saying money is going to solve all your problems, but it solves a lot of problems that having money create, mm-hmm. if that makes sense.
Makes perfect
and that's
sense.
One thing one of my mentors told me, and it stuck with me forever.
So now for the people who are watching, they've listened to you literally break down. I mean, you gave literally $1 million worth of game. And they're like, man, I'm tired of working right. at this dead end 9-to-5 job. I'm ready to take that next step. How can the people get in contact with you?
They can reach out to me on social media. They can reach out to me everywhere on social media, Wealth Forever. Wealth_forever. That's TikTok, that's Instagram, any other platform that's out there. Marquise Robinson on LinkedIn. Or you can click the link below and go to our website, www.multifamilywealthclass.com. Mm. We have a call and a class every week where we show you how to do this thing from A to Z, give you the sauce. We give you the AI agents, wholesaling strategies, surplus funds, how to do multifamily, connect you with Marvin for the business funding, and really help you guys level up and boss up and change your life, man. Because again, if you give them permission to feed you, you'll give them permission to starve you. And last but not least, man, your current situation, man, is definitely not your final destination. I'm living proof myself, guys.
Attention business owners. Are you tired of getting denied for business credit because your personal credit is still holding you back? You have the business, you have the vision, but every single time that you apply, lenders hit you with the same brick wall time after time again, your credit report. You see, here at Take All Financial, we use advanced consumer law strategies to get every negative item removed from your credit report. Things like collections, charge-offs, late payments, delinquent student loans, and so much more. And best of all, it's fully done for you. Our team sends out the dispute letters, files the complaints, and handles everything needed to get your credit to the finish line. Which means you don't have to lift a finger, and we'll do all the heavy lifting needed to put you in position to finally get approved for business credit. So if you're ready to stop getting denied and start getting funded, head over to takeofffinancial.com to book a free consultation with me and my team to see how we can put you in position to get one step closer to your funding goals.
Let me leave him with this. If this was your last interview you ever gave,
right.
What's one truth about yourself you'd want to leave behind?
I would say I'm a firm believer in betting on yourself, man, at the end of the day, right? It's not easy, but I know I don't want to live a life with I don't want to die with a regret-filled coffin. By that, I mean my father was in the military at one point. He got out. Every time we talk, he talks about, man, how much better my life would have been if he stayed in the military and got the GI Bill. So for me personally, what keeps me going, I never want to have a conversation like that with my kids. I never want my kids to have to look up to a stranger that they see dribbling a basketball or throwing a football and looking at them for hope. I want them to see the man that I am, that damn, he bet on himself every day, right? He made it happen. He helped other people get rich and become millionaires as well. So for me, that's what keeps me going, man. For sure. Like, I don't want my kids to look outside for motivation.
Yeah.
The motivation is right here with the family name. And that's why we own multifamily as well. And we add value to communities one building at a time with our multifamily deals also.
Marquise Robinson. Listen, man, we gonna have to do a part two, brother.
Yes, sir. We're coming back.
Listen, I know we gotta get you out of here. You already gave your social in the description. We're gonna keep the link for your website that has the AI agent,
absolutely,
the scripts, the tools, everything that they need moving forward.
Yes, sir.
Got you. Beautiful, my brother. Thank you so much for coming on.
I appreciate the opportunity, man.
Most definitely, brother. Listen, I think each and every single one of y'all, if y'all haven't already, what are you doing? Take a second, take a minute, take an hour out of your day right here, right now to go ahead, hit that like button, show the episode some love, tell a friend to tell a friend to come back and rewatch it again. As always, ladies and gentlemen, my name is Marvin Francois. That's Marquise Robinson. Y'all have been good. We've been great. This has been amazing. Thank you all, and God bless. Peace.